This morning's message is going to be from Galatians chapter 2, and I'll be focusing on verses 15 and 16. So I invite you to take a look at Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. And before I get started, let me open up in prayer. Father, I'm so thankful, Father, that we're all here gathered in your name, O Lord. We pray that you will give us eyes to see and ears to hear, Father, that we will be nourished by your word in every single word, Father. We pray for all those who are here, Father. We pray for our brother Tony as well, who is on the road, Father. We pray that your loving kindness, your tender mercies, and your graces will be with him, Lord, and with his family on the passing of his brother. And we pray for all those who are here, Father, who are also going through some hard times, some difficult times, Father, where their families, their relatives, their friends are also experiencing hardship, Lord. We pray for your grace and for your mercies for all of them. And we pray, Lord, that you will be with me and with us, O Lord, that you will bless this message and this service. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm in chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. And before I get started with verses 15 and 16, I'm reading them, I'll just remind us how we got there from last week. And last week, Paul closes by condemning Peter. Now, as you recall, through his behavior, Peter has pretty much proved himself to be a Judaizer. In a sense, what he did was he condemned the Gentiles by his behavior. Paul says that, Peter, what you did, Peter, is you compelled the Gentiles to live like Jews, to live under the law. And we see that in not 15, but in 14, where Paul tells Peter, you, Peter, compelled all the Gentiles, to live in the manner of Jews, while you yourself live in the manner of a Gentile. That right there is a life of hypocrisy, an inconsistent life. And Paul uses a very strong word there because he tells Peter, you compelled the Gentiles. Compel indicates coercion, force. And it's the same word that Paul used against the Judaizers. He tells the Judaizers compelled Titus to be circumcised. They used force, intimidation, to try to get Titus and the Gentiles to be circumcised. Compelling them, using force and coercion and tactics like that to get them to conform to Jewish law. And here Paul tells Peter, you did the same thing. You tried to compel the Gentiles to live under the law. The same thing. So Paul here has just finished condemning Peter. But now he goes from you, Peter, to we. So we begin at verses 15 and 16, and it says in 15, we are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. So Paul moves the message now from you, Peter, to we. Who's we? Jews. He's talking to Peter. He's talking to Barnabas. He's talking to the Jews, and he's talking to himself because he's pretty much thrown himself into that category. He says, we, us believing Jews. So it says, us believing Jews, we are Jews by nature. In other words, we're born Jews. We have a Jewish parentage, mothers and fathers who are Jews and who raised us to be Jews. So he said, by nature, we are Jews, naturally born. You, Peter, me, Barnabas, the Jewish believers, we're all by nature Jews. But then he goes on to say, not sinners from among the Gentiles. What does he mean by that? Is he saying something, strong language, maybe being rude to the Gentiles? Because this right here is Jewish speak. If you're a Jew, you would understand exactly what Paul is saying when he says, we are Jews by nature, but not Gentile sinners. This is what Jews used to say to indicate that the law, we Jews are under the law. And we live under a system of the law. We have the traditions, we have the customs, we have the festivals, we have the circumcision, we have all that under us. We are the chosen people. So anybody who is not a Jew is a sinner. So they understood this. They understood that when Paul was saying that when he says, We are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles. He's making a distinction that Jews believe this, that they have everything on their side. And if you're not Jew, you obviously you're outside of the Jewish family, which means you're a sinner. All the privileges, all the prerogatives belong to the Jews. Those outside Jewish law have nothing. Well, they're sinners. So Paul, this is what Paul was addressing. But Paul understood that this was not the case. He knew this is not reality, because Paul already knew by this time we're all sinners. Now, back in Romans 7, Paul makes this, he makes a statement. He says that before the law, he says, I was alive. He says, I was alive before the law. And then he says, but when the law came, sin became alive in me. And then he says, and I died. And he says, the law deceived me because I thought I could live under the law, but the law deceived me and I died. I became dead. So Paul already knows that the law cannot save. But now he's going to bring it home to Peter and to Barnabas and to the rest of the Jews so that they understand that the law cannot save them. The law brought nothing but death. And Paul understands this. That is his life. He knows that. So now we're going to move to verse 16. And it starts with, now, know that a man is not justified. Here it says, nevertheless. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by grace, not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. Okay, right there, you mean in that first part, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. That is an immediate rebuff, an immediate rebuke to any person, any Jew, to anyone that believes that they can be justified by the law. And Paul says, no, you can't be justified by the law. He says, there's only one way to be justified. One way, and he says right here, he says, through faith in Christ Jesus. That is the channel by which a man and a woman are justified. Just by that channel, through faith in Christ. Plus what else? Plus nothing. He says, a man, a woman, a Christian is justified through faith in Christ plus nothing else. That is a rebuke and a rebuff to what Peter just did by his life, by his conduct, by his behavior. That is a rebuke and a rebuff to the Judaizers who keep insisting that there's got to be more than just salvation by grace. There has to be the law. And Paul again reinforces that no, it can't be the law. The law does not justify. Back in Romans, Paul already said that when he recognized that the law came, he recognized that sin killed him. The law, he said, deceived me and I died. The law cannot save me. It can't do that. 1,500 years have passed approximately from the time of Moses to the time of Peter, Paul, and the Jews gathering here. Over 1,500 years have passed since Moses gave him the law, and not one Jew has been saved by the law. Not one. This is, in essence, what Paul is saying. All these years, Moses goes up to Mount Sinai, he gets the law, he comes down. All these hundreds of years pass, approximately 1,500 plus years pass, and yet no one. The law has managed to save not one person. The law has condemned everyone. Whether you're Jew or whether you're Gentile, it doesn't matter. The law does nothing but condemn. And Paul says here, the law, by the works of the law, no one is justified. The law does not justify no one. It does not declare anyone to be righteous. And that is what God demands, is it not? God demands righteousness. So because the law is a character of God and came from God, we know that the law, being from God, declares righteousness too. If God declares righteousness, well, then we know that his law, because it came from his mouth, it is a character of God, it declares right. It demands righteousness. You want to be saved? Live righteously, perfectly obedient all the days of your life. Not only outwardly, but inwardly. Yes, you can say, okay, I fulfilled all the requirements of the law that Moses gave me. But Jesus says, not only fulfill the letter of the law, can you fulfill the spirit of the law? Well, no, I didn't kill nobody. I fulfilled that commandment. I'm already at this age. I have not killed nobody according to the letter of the law. But anytime I'm angry with someone in my heart to the point that, I wish to just knock somebody out, Christ says, you've already broken the spirit of the law. It is impossible. Impossible for anybody to meet the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. Impossibility. Paul already knows it can't be done. It can't be done. Here Paul says the only way to do that is what? Is by faith in Christ. That is the means. That is the channel. That's it. No other way. And after all these years, so we learn here in verse 16, we learn a very significant doctrine. And this is indeed Paul's first letter that he ever wrote, his first epistle to everyone. Well, then this is the first time he mentions this great doctrine. But this is a magnificent doctrine, what justification is. And as Christians, we should know what that is. Because it is something it is wonderful. It is fantastic. When I first found out the meaning and what justification was and what God did to me by justifying me, what he does to the Christian by justifying the person, it just changes your life. You can't help but be changed because it is a significant doctrine, this doctrine of justification. It is just a wonderful thing, a glorious thing what God does. And this is the first time that Paul is introducing it to the Galatians through this letter. And here, it's important. How do I know it's important? Because in this verse, in verse 16, he mentions it three times. He mentions it three times. He says, nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ. There's one time. Then he says, even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ. And that's two. Then he says, and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. Now, if it repeats it three times, we should know, okay, this justification business, it must be something very, very wonderful. It must be something glorious to the believer to know that you are justified. You are justified. So we get three things. When I go to verse 16 to try, because you read 16, it's one of those verses that you have to read over and over again to really get it, because it can be confusing if you don't really read it slowly. But there's three truths that you can get from verse 16. Three truths. And the first truth is this. It's general truth. It's just general truth that's out there. It is general truth. And here's the general truth. It says right here, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. Okay, that right there is just a general truth of the church. We know that. The only way to be justified is by Jesus Christ and nothing else. And that is this general truth for the church. We should know that. It's Christ plus nothing else. Nothing else. So that right there, we know, is just general truth. Can you go to Acts, please, chapter 4, verse 12? Again, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. So salvation is by Jesus only, by faith in Christ. That is a general truth that we know, that we believe in. There is no other truth than that. We know that to be so. So right here in verse 16, we get the first general truth. Salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ, through faith in Christ. General truth number one. And then we go to something, the next part, which is a personal truth. Because we have general truth right there, and the second point is personal truth. This is my personal truth, and if you're a Christian, it should be your personal truth as well. And here it is. It says, even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. So this is a personal truth of mine. It should be yours too. Is what? Is that because I believe in Jesus Christ, I have been justified by God the Father. That is my personal truth as a Christian. I believe in Christ. And because I believe in him, I trust him, and I've committed my life to him, he has justified me. That is a personal truth. That is my truth. And if you're a Christian, it should be your truth as well. So we have a general truth, and then Paul gives us, but here's a personal truth. He says, Jews, because he's talking to the Jews, and he's telling the Jews, Jews, you right there, says, you believe in Christ Jesus, and it's because of your belief in Christ that you are justified. It's not your belief in the law, because you already know that the law condemned you, but you Jews, my fellow Jews, it is because you believe in Christ that you are justified. That is a personal truth. It was a personal truth that Paul gave to the Jews. It's a truth that Paul has given to the Gentiles. It's personal. I believe in Christ, and because I believe in him, God the Father has justified me. Personal truth. So he's reminding the Jews, if you need to believe in Jesus to be saved, and that is it, well then, so do the Gentiles. The Gentiles, all they need to do is believe in Jesus Christ, and they too shall be saved. Believe in the same name, because there is salvation in no one else but Jesus Christ. So if the Gentiles believe in no one else but Jesus Christ, well then they are saved. So to the Jew and the Gentile, it is one gospel. One gospel, one faith, one God. Jew and Gentile, there's no distinction. What the Jews need is the same thing the Gentiles need, the one gospel. So we go from general truth to this personal truth. In personal truth, there was a time when these believing Jews, they were wholly dependent on what? They were dependent on the law. Their salvation, they thought, depended completely on the Mosaic law. If they're going to have salvation, I have to put all my trust in the Mosaic law. They were dependent on that. But now things have changed, because when Christ comes into your life should change. And they became no longer dependent on the law, they became dependent on Christ. We are now, as Jews, no longer dependent on the law. We are Christians dependent on Christ. On him, we depend. And it's the same thing for us, because if we depend on anyone, it should be Christ. We should put our faith in no one else and no other thing but in Christ. In Christ, I trust. In him. So that's what Paul's conveying here. He's conveying this personal truth, because this is truth right here. And it should be personal to you. So he goes from a general truth to a personal truth. And the last part, he's going to close it here with a universal truth. Something that is universal. And it's this. Since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. So we know that because by observing the law, no one will be justified. Okay, that is a universal truth that everyone should know. Okay, the law will not justify a single person ever. Never. Since the days of Moses, no one has been justified by the law. Since the days of the Hebrew Abraham to the times of Peter, Paul, and James, no one has been justified by the law. No flesh will be justified by the law. No one. It is an impossibility. The law can't do that. Why? Because the law is not gracious. It's not. And don't get me wrong, because Paul says this. Paul reminds us that the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and is good, and is righteous. Why? Because it's the character of God. It is perfect. The law is perfect, but here's the problem. We are not perfect. The law is so perfect in all its ways, and we are so imperfect in all our ways. So we can't meet the law. And the law does not have the grace to help us meet it. The law was not given to help you come to God. It's there to help you just, how bad you are and you can't come to God. We need something to help us to come to God. Is the law good? Yes, the law is good. Is it righteous? Is it holy? Do I need it? Yes. Why? Because the law reminds me. If I'm up to no good, the law reminds me, you ought not to be there. You ought not to be thinking that. You ought not to be seeing that. You ought not to be talking about that, because the law condemns me like that. It tutors me still. It tells me, don't do that. But here's what the law won't do. The law won't help me to stop. It will just tell me, you shouldn't do that. That is wrong. And it reminds me. But that is a good thing. That's what it is. It's righteous and it's good and it's holy. Because it still kind of keeps me in line. And if I don't have the law, I'm not kept in line. So the law still functions in my life and in your life. But the one thing the law won't do is it won't save you. It won't rescue you. It only tells you you don't meet the standard. You fall short. You're falling short what of the grace of God. That's what the law does. So there's the universal truth right there. It means that by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. And in verse 16, when Paul says, nevertheless, knowing that a man, okay, that man right there, when he says knowing that a man, because in the Greek, the Greek word there is anthropos. And we get the word anthropology, the study of man, from there. And it's a general word that means mankind. So when Paul says, nevertheless, knowing that a man, he's talking about mankind, which includes woman. Man and woman, it doesn't matter, Paul says, none will be justified by the law. No one. No flesh. So Paul gives us here three truths. He gives us a general truth, a personal truth, and a universal truth. But then this word justified, because it is a most outstanding word, a great work of God that he does in our lives. And if we're Christians, we should know what that is, to be justified. What does that mean when God says here in the Bible, he says, when Paul says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. Justification. Justification is a forensic term. What does it mean? It means it's a legal term. It's a term that you would use in a court of law. If you're in a court of law and you're listening to prosecutors and to attorneys and to the judge, you would hear the word justification. You won't hear too much there, because it's a word that God uses in the bar of his court, because God is the judge of all the earth. So when you look at this word justification, and I'll talk more about that in a while, but when you look at the word justification, it's not so much Paul introducing this great doctrine, it's the Holy Spirit introducing this great doctrine through Paul. So it's the Holy Spirit, in a sense, when we look at all this, saying the law can't justify you, faith in Christ can justify you. And he uses the word justification. A word used again, it's a forensic word, a legal term used in a court of law. So what does it mean? It means to justify or to declare somebody to be righteous. It is a declaration. I'm declaring you to be righteous, to be upright, to stand before me. Before who? Before God. It is a declaration. A God declares the Christian, you are justified. You are righteous. And because you are righteous, you can now stand with me. You couldn't before, but you can now, because Paul says you are justified. It is a declaration. It is a pronouncement by God. Does that mean you're righteous? No, he's not saying you're righteous. I'm making you righteous. What he's saying is I'm declaring you to be righteous. It is a declaration. My position in Christ is one of absolute righteousness, because God has justified me. God has looked at me and he says, you, now my son, justified. You are righteous. Absolutely righteous. Can you go to 2 Corinthians, please? Chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 21. Here we go. So God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Okay, here's the thing, okay? We know this because this right here, this is the heart of the gospel. This is the heart of the gospel right here. Because what Christ did for us in becoming sin, he gave us his righteousness. Here's the thing. Because we know that when Christ was on the cross, he took all our sin upon him. This is what people call the gospel of addition plus subtraction. Because to Christ, we gave him all our sin. All of our sins, past, present, future. Every sin that we've ever committed, every sin that we will ever commit, has been placed on the shoulders of Christ. Everything. And he, in turn, gives us something we have never had. Oh, we were sinners. But what he's given us is something that we have never had. We gave him something he had never had, which was sin. And now he's going to give us something that we have never had, which is righteousness. Righteousness. And that is what God has says. I am declaring you righteous, justified. We know this. That in Romans, God says that the righteous, the self-righteous works of man are like filthy rags. Any righteous thing, any righteous work that a sinner commits or tries to proffer to God, God says, filthy. It is as filthy rags. I don't want it. We can't give God nothing, no works while we're in the flesh. Because God already says, the Bible already says, by the flesh, by the works of the flesh, no man will be saved. So all my good deeds, everything I try to do while I'm a non-Christian, God says, I don't want it. All that is as filthy rags. Your self-righteous works, I don't want it. What does God want? Well, God demands righteousness. Well, how does God give us righteousness? By the work of Christ on the cross. By his work. By that good work, God gives us what? Righteousness. Before, God says, the righteousness of man, I don't want that. Filthy. Now, this righteousness, that God will honor. I'll take that righteousness, God says. I demand this kind of righteousness. And because of the work of Christ on the cross, now we have righteousness. Was work required for salvation? Yes, work was required, but it wasn't our work. It was the work of Christ. His work on the cross was required for us to be justified, to be declared righteous, to have perfect standing with God. Perfect standing with God. We needed what? We needed a man that was perfectly obedient all the days of his life, and that died on the cross. And on the cross, you would think that Jesus Christ, he died on the cross, and you would think he is the God-man. You would think, well, one little blood of the God, one drop of blood by the God-man would be enough to justify all of man. But God, Christ on the cross, he poured out an abundance of blood. An abundance of blood on the cross. To wash away all the sins of the world. Why? So that there would be full assurance of our justification. Well, make no doubt, what Christ did on the cross fully assured us that we are justified. He didn't spill a drop of blood, or a drop of sweat, or a single tear. Oh, he spilled his body. Sweat, tears, blood, an abundance of sweat, tears, and blood. So when the Bible says, because I live, you too will live. I came to give you what? An abundance of life. Know that. we have an abundance of life because of what Christ did for us on the cross. It was no small thing. It was a huge, immense thing that he did on the cross. Full assurance that when he said, "It is done, it is done. I gave everything I have for you." Nothing was spared. Nothing. On the cross, everything was paid for. And that is the thing about justification. That I have to pay for nothing now. Why? Because Christ paid it for me. I have no sin debt. I have none. I have to pay nothing. The wrath of God, I will never ever see it. Why? Because he incurred that on the cross for me. Everything that needed to be done for me to be righteous, Christ did. His good work garnered us a justification. On the cross, where he died, and he took our sin upon him, that, right then and there, he does what? He turns around and he gives us divine righteousness. Everything that is perfect about Christ, perfect obedience, a perfect life, a sinless life, everything that is good, he pours to us. He put that into our account. And that is what is so amazing about this doctrine of justification. That is my position. That is your position if you're a Christian. And here's the point, because we don't feel righteous, do we? Because we kind of sin every day. But God already declares us to be righteous. But we, because we're still in the flesh condemns us. And the law kind of still condemns us. It says, no, you know what? You don't have righteousness in you because you're still doing what you were doing before. You're still the same old person. You don't change. You don't meet the standard. So the flesh is constantly condemning me, saying, "No, you're not righteous." But God already said, "I declare you to be righteous." And that's there where we need to live. We need to learn to live by grace. God gives us grace, but we don't live by grace. Because justification, that is a grace of God. That is a grace of God that he gives us. Sanctification is another grace of God. Regeneration is another grace of God. Adoption is another grace of God. Forgiveness of sins, another grace of God. So many graces that we're busy not realizing what God has done for us in justifying us. Just like Christ, my son, is perfect, you, I have declared you to be perfect too. Perfect. Are you perfect now? No. That's why we go through this process called sanctification. Being sanctified, being made holy. Two different things. Two different things. Justification and sanctification. Both of these, if you think about it, sanctification and justification both deal with what? They both deal with sin. Because in the life of a Christian, what needs to be dealt with? Well, sin. Why? Because we have a sin problem. And it needs to be dealt with every day of our lives. In the spiritual domain, God already dealt with it. He said, "You are justified. Your sins are no more. You are not guilty. You are innocent." And here's the thing about being justified, because once God justifies you, that means you are justified forever. Never ever in the eyes of God will he say, you're guilty. You're guilty. No. Once you become a believer and you are justified, like Paul says right here, you're justified. You're always justified. You're always righteous in the sight of God. Never will you hear God says, "I condemn you. You are guilty." Never. Can you go to Romans 8, please? Romans 8. Chapter 8, verse 1. Right here. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." No condemnation. If I am in Christ, this I know, because I am in Christ, we are in Christ. So we should know that because we are in Christ, we are justified. We are righteous. Why? Because if Christ is in me, I have his righteousness in me. It's not out of me, it's always in me, because he's always in me through the power of the Holy Spirit. So his righteousness always abides. And every time God sees me, he sees a righteous man or a righteous woman. Always. He never sees, well, there's a guilty, there's one of my guilty children right there. No, he sees righteous children. Why? Because we have the life of Christ in us. Next verse, please. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Two different laws here. The law of the Spirit of life and the law of sin and death. Everybody is under one of those. You're either under the law of the Spirit of life that gives you freedom, or you're under the law of sin and death, which gives you just that, sin and death, condemnation. So, men and women today, you're either, by God, you're either declared justified or you're pronounced condemned. Justified or condemned. Same thing right here. We see you're either under the law of the Spirit of life or you're under the law of sin and death. It's one or the other. And that right there is kind of like that universal truth that I just talked about. That flesh, by the works of the law, will never ever be saved. You will always be condemned. Always be condemned. So justification deals with the guilt of sin. I shouldn't be guilty when you sin. Be okay. We still have to repent when we sin. We know that. We still have to repent of our sins, and we go to Christ, and we know that when I go to Christ because of my sin, I know that he is faithful to forgive me of my sin. If I am genuine about my sin, he's faithful, and he will forgive me. So I know I still need to deal with sin. We need to deal with sin. That is why we go through this process of sanctification. And the process of sanctification is this. It addresses the dominion of sin and the corruption of sin that still dwells in us, because we still wrestle with the flesh. God has justified us, but the Holy Spirit, through sanctification, begins to deal with the sinful life that we have, the corruption, the iniquity. And the Holy Spirit begins to do what? To make us holy. Because God is holy. Justified in the eyes of God, and the Holy Spirit sanctifying us to make us holy. But they work together. But both of these are what? They're the graces of God. So when Paul tells the Jews, you're justified, when he tells the Gentiles, you're justified, it's not a little thing, something we just say, okay, well, thanks. No, it should be something that moves you to know that every single day of my life, God sees me as being a righteous son. And God sees you as being a righteous daughter. That is what he sees. He doesn't see a heathen, an unbeliever, a pagan, someone who's going to be condemned to hell. No, he sees someone who he's already adopted into his family. An heir with Christ. He already sees that. The point is, sometimes we don't see that. That's why we're told every single day to do what? Paul tells every single day to be renewed in the mind. He said, renew your mind. He said, don't conform to the world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Renewing yourself. Thinking about these things, thinking about doctrines, about justification of what God has done for me, about sanctification, about the new birth, a new life, a new nature, a new heart, thinking about all these things in the mind. I can spend hours and hours thinking about Bible things, holy things, and all it takes is 5 minutes watching TV and all those things are washed away. Because I see something on TV that, oh, should never have watched that. And there he goes. That's why he says, every single day, renew the mind and be renewing it and continue to renew it. So that what? So that you would be transformed. Be transformed and do what? And be conformed. You're transformed in the mind and you're conformed into the image of Christ. That's how we have to deal with sin. And what is the What is the method of justification? Can you go to Romans 3, please? Romans 3, verses 23 and 24. How do we get this? How are you justified? Because it's right here, Romans 3, verses 23 and 24. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We know that. They're a universal truth. We know that to be true. But then it says in verse 24, because people memorize verse 23 all the time. A lot of people have that verse memorized by heart. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Because it's easy to remind people that, you know, you're sinners. We're all sinners. We all fall short all the time. Because we do that. We're always condemning ourselves, but we never go to the very next verse and memorize that verse. Where it says, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Yes, you know what? I fell short of the glory of God. And every day when I sin, I fall short of the glory of God. But then I'm reminded that I am justified freely by God's grace. By God's grace, you're righteous. Still righteous on the sight of God. You fell short, son. But in my eyes, you are still righteous. And the life of my son, Jesus Christ, abides in you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Righteous, justified, redeemed by Christ. Justified. So we know that we have unmerited favor. Unmerited favor, because we don't deserve grace. We did nothing for it. That's why we can't boast about salvation, right? We can't boast about us being saved. Because when it comes down to it, we did nothing. It was all the work of Christ and the grace of God the Father. They had everything to do with it. We had nothing to do with it. Nothing. Can you go to Ephesians, please? Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8. Okay. For it is by grace, it is only by grace, nothing else. It is by grace you have been saved. It is by grace plus nothing else. Just by grace. It is by God's grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. Okay, me being justified, God justified me, God declared me righteous, is a promise of God. And I said before, some weeks back, that we always stand firm on the promises of God. And if God promised me that you are justified, well, then I'm going to stand on that promise. Because I know that if I die today, if I die tomorrow, I will cling to that promise that I will live him forevermore because he has justified me. I am righteous in the sight of God. Completely righteous. Why? By his grace. Not of my works. So that none of us can boast. So here's Paul talking to his Jews, saying it's all the work of Christ. Justified by God because of what Christ did, plus nothing else. It's time to abandon the law. The law does not save anyone. That was not the purpose of the law. But God, by his grace, through his son, through our faith in Christ, saves us by his grace, redeems us, justifies us, sanctifies us, and one day will glorify us. And it's all the grace of God. So here's the thing about all this that I've been saying, because if you take the gospel of grace and you put the law back into this gospel, well then there goes what? There goes justification, sanctification, glorification, adoption, all those graces of God go out the window because they no longer apply. You brought the law back in there and the law does none of that. You've just negated the grace of God because you've taken it back to, oh, I have to do something. I have to merit salvation. I have to do something. But no, it's not about us. It's about Christ and what Christ did. You see, in man's court of law, when a man goes to court and there's a human judge, the judge is either going to pronounce that man innocent or guilty based on what that man did. So that man's innocence is based on his self-merit. What did that man do? Was it good? Was it bad? And if it was good, then it was because of what that man did that was good that the judge is now saying, you are innocent. You're innocent. But in God's court, there is no innocent man. We're all sinners, every single one of us. So God justifies us not on what we did, on our merit. He justifies us on the merit of Jesus Christ and what Christ did. On his merit, on the merit of Jesus Christ and what he did, I pronounce you, man and or woman, my son or daughter, innocent. Pardoned of all your sins. Not because of your self-merit, but because of the merit of my son, Jesus Christ. You are justified. So this idea of justification is a marvelous thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's something that we should know about. Because we don't, in churches, you don't hear much talk about justification. You read it all the time, and people gloss over it, but they really don't know what God has done for us because of the work of his son, Jesus Christ. A wonderful thing. So we live our lives. We live our lives not trying to make God accept us, because many of us do that. We want God to accept us. So we live our lives trying to please God, when in reality, we should live our lives knowing that God has already accepted us. He's already deemed you righteous. You're already his. You belong to him. All his righteousness, because this is not man's righteousness, this is divine righteousness. The divine righteousness of Jesus Christ abides in you and in me. It's done. When Christ said, it is done, it is done. So we shouldn't live our lives trying to get God to accept us. We should live our lives knowing that God has already accepted us. We're already his. I'm not going to be his one day. I'm already his. And same for you guys. You're not going to be his tomorrow or the next day. You're already his. You are his children now. Today, and because of justification, forevermore. Because the Bible says that the promises of God are irrevocable. He doesn't change his mind and says, oh, you know what, I changed my mind. You're really bad. So I'm no longer going to justify you. No. Once you're justified, you are justified. That is a promise of God, and God's promises are irrevocable. He doesn't change his mind. If God justifies you now, you're justified forever. He demands righteousness, and he got it from who? From Christ, his son. His son lived a sinless life, an obedient life. He was absolutely righteous, and that is the righteousness that God demanded. He demands righteousness. The only way for him to do that was to do what? Was to send his only son into the earth to do the work for us. That was his redemptive plan, to send his one and only son to redeem fallen sinner. The only work of righteousness that God was going to accept is the work of Christ. That's the only work he accepted. And because of his work, God turned and looked at me and at you, and he says, you, because you have faith in my son, because it is faith in Christ Jesus that is the basis of our salvation. We must have faith in Christ. If we don't have faith in Christ, oh, then we don't have justification either. But if we have faith in Christ, because that right there is the basis of our salvation, we must have faith in Christ. And if we have faith in Christ, and it's genuine and it's real, because the Holy Spirit has done what? Has regenerated you, has given you a new life, a new birth, a new heart, a circumcised heart, a new nature. Well, then you know too that you have justification. Because you look at the new birth, regeneration. Well, it's all part of the same salvation process, to be regenerated, to be born again, and then to be justified, and then to be glorified. All the graces of God, and they all have to do with Christ. not with us. So as I finish it now, what are the results? Because we're justified. What are the results of justification? Can you go to chapter to Acts, please? Chapter 13, verses 38, 39. Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Okay, that right there, that is a result of justification. When God says, you are justified, that right there is a result of justification. I want you to know through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. God has looked at me and he has pronounced you and me to be righteous. Absolutely righteous. In you, no more sin. All your sins have been forgiven. All your sins. How do we live? By faith in Christ. Can you go to Job, please? Job chapter 9, verse 2. Okay? Because this was a question that Job asked thousands of years ago. Job asked this very question when he was going through some very difficult times. And he was having a discussion with his three friends. And he said this right here, indeed I know this, that this is true. But how can a mortal, how can a man be righteous before God? How can he be righteous before God? But we know the answer now. I mean, Job did know it then. But even Job knew that because, even Job knew that he would live. Why? Because Job said, because my Redeemer lives, I too will live. My Redeemer lives. And this we know too. I will live. Why? Because my Redeemer lives. Because Jesus says, because I live, you too will live. Why? Because I am your Redeemer. And Job knew that. I will live because my Redeemer lives. We live because our Redeemer lives. And our Redeemer gives us abundant life. But he says, how can a man be justified? By faith in the Redeemer. Put your faith in Christ. Genuine, true, authentic faith in Christ. And by that, we are made righteous. Only made righteous if we put our faith in Christ. Do we want right standing with God? If we want to stand right with God, if we want to be justified, like Paul said, like he told the Jews, you are justified, well then we need to have faith in Christ. That is the means. That is the means of being justified. We have to have faith. Faith in Christ. There is no other way. Grace plus nothing else. And all these things right here, they're all the wonderful graces of God. All of them. So we have remission of sin. Romans 5, please. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. What else do we have because of justification? Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because I have been justified, I have something I never had before, and that's peace. Because before, I was hostile to God. I was in enmity to God. I was an enemy of God. But because I have been justified because of my faith in Christ, I now have peace with God the Father. I can come boldly to the throne of grace because I have been justified. Because when I go to the throne of grace and God looks at me, it's as if he's looking at his son, Jesus Christ, because he sees the righteousness of Christ in me. And he says, come. Come boldly. Why? Because you've been justified. Oh, but I feel like such a guilt. I feel so dirty. So sinful. No. You come boldly because God has justified you. You come. Oh, the flesh might tell you, no, you can't. You're just a filthy, rotten sinner. The devil will tell you, oh, see what you did? You shouldn't be going there. No. But grace compels you to go. To go to the throne of God. And do what? And get more grace. More grace. Because that's what he says. Come boldly through the throne of grace and do what? So you may obtain grace to help you in the time of need. When is your time of need? Every day is my time of need. Every single day I need heavenly manna. Every single day I need to spend time with God. And every single day, because I have been justified, like Paul says, I should be able to go to the throne of grace. Because in God's eyes, that right there, my daughter, my son, righteous in my sight. Absolutely righteous. Redeemed and justified. And that is exactly what Paul is saying to the Jews. We've been justified. So when we think of justification, don't just gloss over this like if it's nothing. It's a big thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a glorious thing. That all of us, if we're true Christians, if we're genuine Christians, then we have been justified. We have been made perfect. Oh, you don't feel perfect, I know that. Why? Because we're kind of still living in the flesh. But in the eyes of God, we are righteous. And because we have been justified, and because we have been sanctified, and because we have faith in Christ, we should prove it. Well, how do you prove that? By doing good works. Because that's what James said. God has justified you. Well, how do you prove it to someone else? Because you're producing good works. He sanctifies, he justifies, and because of all these things, now we go forward and we do what? We do good works. That's what James meant when he says, faith without works is dead faith. It's just no. But if we truly have faith in Christ and we are being sanctified and we've been justified, well then that right there should compel us to do what? To produce good works. To produce good works. When I recognize that what God has done for me by imputing the righteousness of Jesus Christ into my life, you know the verse just before that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 31, the verse right before that says, you are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. An ambassador. So the fact that he has justified you and he has made you righteous should make you a very good ambassador of Jesus Christ. Because his full righteousness, the 100% divinity of Christ, his righteousness is in you. So we should know that when we are ambassadors, we have everything of him in us. To go out there and do what? And do righteous works. Righteous, good works. Before God said, I don't accept the self-righteous works of man. I don't accept none of that. But because we now have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we should be able to produce righteous, good works that God will accept. Now that, God says, your righteousness, your righteous good works, I will accept. Because the righteousness of my Son, Jesus Christ, abides in you. We weren't able to do that before. He wouldn't accept those works. But our new works as ambassadors, as preachers, as teachers, as people who witness for Christ, evangelists, anybody and everyone, because we all have a ministry. No one is exempt. We're all obligated to do what? To share Christ. Every single one of us. Whether I'm in church, or I'm at work, or I'm at school, at no point in time do I decide, you know what, today I won't live for Christ. No, every day we live for Christ. Good, righteous works. We weren't properly equipped before for that, but now, because of justification, we are properly equipped for good works. Works that God will accept. And that is what is so wonderful about being justified. So when Paul says, you are justified, oh, appreciate that. Thank God for that. Praise God for that. Because what God has done, because we didn't merit it, Jesus merits that. But he gave us freely by his grace. Oh, we should so appreciate that. That's why Paul says about the gospel. The gospel is something that lays hold of you and something that you lay hold of. The gospel is Jesus Christ. And Christ lays hold of me And my response should be to lay hold of him. And that's what Paul says. The gospel that you have received, if you indeed have received it, laid hold of it. Because when you do, it lays hold of you. Justification, lay hold of it. Lay hold of it. Because God has given it to you. Oh, and don't let the flesh or the world or the devil rob you of it. Know that it's yours and keep standing firm on it. Oh, lay hold of it. Because we need it. We need it. So as I close, just remind us again, let's not live life thinking God needs to accept us. Still, let's live life knowing that he already does. He accepts us. And he always will. Why? Because we have been justified. Amen? In closing prayer. Father, I'm so thankful, Lord,